We are thankful that we can go to God in prayer. Individually and collectively. Amen. Amen. It's a point that bears repeating. Nothing good, at least in this church, is going to happen without prayer. Prayer is not a suggestion. It is not an option. It is a command. It is a requirement. We must pray. Amen. Amen. As I pray for you, I pray that y'all are praying for me. Amen. I need prayer. I'm going to just tell y'all up front. I need prayer. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, which means he runs it, he owns it, he is the boss. To our ministers here on the roster, to all officers, members, friends, guests, and to my beautiful wife over there, amen. I'm glad to be back for another Sunday. Amen. Every day living is a day given. There is no guarantee that I am supposed to grow old. Amen. There is no guarantee. God did not sign a contract guaranteeing my life. But he already signed a contract saying that he's got me. Amen. Amen. Well, before we get into the sermon, let us begin in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can go to you in prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we have a church that can pray to you and that chooses to pray to you, Lord. We thank you, God. And we ask you, Lord, that as we get ready to unfold what you have for us, we just pray, Lord, that the hearers as well as the speaker open up our hearts and our minds, and that we be receptive to what you have to say. And not only let us listen, but let us apply. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Last Sunday, I started to explain the vision of St. John. And before doing that, we had to explain the mission. What is the mission? It's our purpose, the biblical reason why we exist. And we defined that last time as our mission, our reason for existing is to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. Amen. Glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. And we said that everything we do, everything, every program, every message, everything we do here at this church flows from that. That we exist to glorify God among the people so that the people may glorify God. We explained four ways that we would do that. In general, which were through growth, through love, through evangelism, and through mission. These were all four different focuses. The focus is me, then us, then him or her, and then them. So what I would like to do today, and this will be the title for this sermon is to focus on this, growth. Growth. That is the title of today's sermon, and that is what I would like to focus on as far as part of our vision. Now, again, some of you may be thinking, well, aren't you supposed to read the Bible first before you give the sermon topic? I know. We're doing things a little different. Amen. Bear with me. We're trying to do things a little different. So our vision we talked about is our purpose in practice. What does it look like to glorify God among men, so among the people, so that the people may glorify God? Well, today, one of the ways I would like to focus on is growth. What I want to list out today is, one, why is growth important? Two, what is growth? And three, how are we going to do it? Again, personal growth. Why is growth important? What is this personal growth? And how are we going to do it? So we're going to do a little scripture searching today. Please turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. Hebrews, the fifth chapter. And the 12th verse of the fifth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 5:12. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, so wait a minute. Amen. Wait a minute sounds like people are interested in the word and are searching the scriptures for the word. Those are two blessings right there. Amen. Not every church has that. Hebrews, the fifth chapter, the 12th verse. And what I'll do is read out of the New King James Version from the 12th chapter of the fifth, from the 12th verse of the fifth chapter to the third verse of the sixth chapter. And it reads as follows out of the New King James Version, Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. Amen? That concludes the reading of God's word. I want to do another little demonstration. And I am going to see if Lyric... Hi, Lyric. Can you come up here real quick? Church, say hi, Lyric.
Hi, Lyric.
How you doing? good. Let me get a microphone for you, okay? Lyric, how old are you?
Seven.
Is that what you all thought? She's about seven, you know, maybe six, eight, maybe five, something like that, right? Okay. But she is 7 years old. Amen? Now, doesn't Lyric look like a seven-year-old? You know, once all of us have our numbers calibrated. She looks around 7 years old, right? Okay. So that means, you know, she looks like a normal seven-year-old, which means she's probably growing up normally. Now, if I told you Lyric was 15 years old, India, wouldn't you think that would be weird if Lyric was 15 years old looking like this? It'd be a little strange, right? What if I told you she was 40? Wouldn't it be weird if Lyric looked like this at 40 years old? We would say, okay, there's something, we need to go to a doctor, we need to do something, right? There are some of us who have been Christians for 40 years and spiritually look like Lyric. There are some of us who have been Christians for 50 years, 60 years, and spiritually look like Lyric. It would be a problem if you were that old in the faith and looked like me. I mean, I don't think I look 50 or 60. Amen? India, come on up here. Now everybody's shaking. Oh, we can be called up here. I better listen. India, what grade are you in?
Sixth
grade. Does India look like a sixth grader? Right? So, Angel's here. India looks like a sixth grader. Maybe she could be in seventh grade, you know, maybe fifth grade, who knows. But she's in sixth grade. Now, if she were a little older, maybe a year older, and for whatever reason, she was held back a year. Not what we want, but she's about, you know, the age of a sixth grader. But if you look at me, and I'm in the same middle school class as India, you would think that something is wrong. Amen? You would expect me to get a little more educated. You know, the exams and tests that India had to go through, you would think that I would have already gone through it. And if I were presented with that again, I would be able to do well again. In fact, I should be helping India do her work, not asking India to help me with my schoolwork. Again, how many of us have spiritually stayed in the sixth grade? So for some of us, we may not have reached the sixth grade. And see what I'm getting at is it's nothing to do with age. I'm not getting at physical age. Okay? India has been a Christian longer than most adults on this planet. Okay, so we're not talking about physical age. we're talking about spiritual age. From the moment you said you accepted Christ till now, there should be growth. So why it's important? It's important because it's natural. Just like Lyric grows up, just like India is passing her classes, and by the way, she's an A student. So just FYI, I didn't bring her up here. She's a straight A student, amen. We would expect growth. Thank y'all. Y'all can go sit. We would, in school, we would say there's a problem either with the student, India, or there could be a problem with the teacher. My parents will tell you in fifth grade, I was at this level of math, and when I transitioned to a new school in sixth grade, I went to the same level of math. Not because I wasn't capable of handling more, but they were incapable of teaching me more. They're right there. Ask them. Amen? But it's important because if we don't grow, we won't reach the purpose that God made us for. We won't be able to glorify God in the fullest because we have stunted growth. India is in school so that she can move up and move up and move up and then eventually graduate. That's the purpose of school, is to continue to teach her so that she can get somewhere. She's not in school just to have something to do. Amen? For us, one of the biggest reasons we are in church is for us to grow. If someone is not growing, okay, and I probably shouldn't say this being a young pastor just starting, but if somebody is not growing, you have tried everything, you've availed yourself to every, you know, single avenue of education we have, you've really tried, and you are not growing. Find another teacher. I am that serious about growth. I am that serious about growth. If we as a church body are not helping you grow up in Christ, your growth in Christ is more important than your commitment. Okay? I shouldn't be saying this. I know. But you know what? That puts pressure on me because that is what I'm here to do. And that is what the leadership team is here to do. And that's what the ministers and the teachers, that is what we are here to do, is to help us grow. Turn with me to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So we talked about why is growth important, because God made us for a purpose, okay? He didn't bring us in here just to bring us in here, but he wants to take us somewhere. He wants to grow us, and that's how we glorify God, is in him. And we're going to get into that a little more. The Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say, wait a minute. Hey, amen, out of the mouths of babes. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th through 13th verse. And it reads as follows. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now listen for why. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Again, the Bible is telling you right there, this is why we have everybody here, is so you individually can grow. I want y'all to say this after me. Repeat this after me. All this is for me. Say it again. All this is for me. This church setting is for me. Amen? We are here to grow, and God does not want us growing in a vacuum. He does not want us growing all by ourselves. See, that's the problem is when we think one of the things that the devil tries to do with us is he tries to isolate you. You see, you don't need all these people to grow. Why don't you come over here by yourself and teach yourself the word? Don't forget all these people who were, by the way, were put here to do this. Just come here. What would happen if Angel had to teach herself school? What if she had to teach herself? Now, has it been done before? Yes, but it sure took a lot of work. And she still consulted other, and you would still have to consult other books and materials. But you can't just, Angel couldn't find this out by herself. None of us can grow by ourselves. The church is here to help us grow. You, individually, we're talking about you. We're going to get to the body a little later, but we're talking about you. Why are you here? The church is supposed to help you grow. And that is why I exist. That is why Reverend Tolliver and Reverend Wright and Reverend Burks and the deacons, that is why we all exist. Sunday school teachers, that's why we all exist, is to help you grow. Amen. Amen. Verse 14 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Now, I have no kids that are born yet. But some of you may know when you walk around with kids and you're walking around the store, they tend to, here. Ooh, let me go pick this up. And what do? You hold on to their hand so that, okay. But, I want that ball. No, we're not going to the ball. We're going to keep going. That's what the church is supposed to do. Because a lot of us will fall for distractions. Amen. A lot of us will be a baby Christian and stay a baby Christian if we keep chasing after every single thing. They want to teach us something. Oh, this is different. Oh, that's different. Oh, I just, When Christ is trying to work with us through the church and saying, hey, come with me. And I'm taking you down a path. Amen. Verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him. Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Christ causes growth. See, in Lyric does not have to make herself grow taller. She does not have to make herself grow up. It happens because of what she's being fed. She's not doing it herself, but what's come, what's in her is causing the growth. We do not grow ourselves in a church setting. God causes growth. We talked about this. We can plant and we can water. But God gives the increase. Amen? Amen. But still, some of you may be saying, growth, what does growth actually look like? You know, I've been talking about how important it is, but what does it actually look like? Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. And then verses 18 through 22 explain what that futility looks like. When we grow in Christ, we have a fundamental change in thought. The way we process everything changes. We don't just read the Bible more. We don't just come here on Sundays. But the way we look at our job changes. The way we look at family changes. The way we look at the less fortunate changes. The way we look at our enemies fundamentally changes. If you were to pair the rest of the world with us and ask the big questions, you know, politics, abortion, things like that, we should have a fundamentally different view than the rest of the world. We are not to walk as the Gentiles walk. Now, I'm not saying be different just for the sake of being different, but there is something that God causes in you that alters how you process everything. Verse 23 and 24 say, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You are a new person in Christ. See, you're a new person when you get saved, and you're becoming a new person. See, now we're talking about getting away from milk and going to solid food now, all right? There's this thing called the already not yet. You are already a new person in Christ, but you're still becoming a new person in Christ. It sounds like foolishness to the world because they can't understand that. But see, in Christ, we understand that. These things are spiritually appraised. We understand that when Christ has saved us, we are a new creature. That means that the old you, the drunk you, the cursing you, the envying you, all, that you is dead. You are not defined
by your past. You are a new person immediately because you're a Christian. You are no longer a slave to those old things that kept you, the drug habits and the anger issue. You are no longer a slave to that. You no longer have to do what they say. But you can follow Christ because you have the ability to right now. At the same time, we still have to learn how to die to the old self. Because that old self likes to resurrect itself when somebody's trying to cuss you out. That old self resurrects itself when somebody cuts you off on the street. That old self resurrects itself, you know, when times get hard and you don't know what to do. And you used to have a way to kind of ease your stress, you know, that you can't do anymore, but it looks tempting. See, that old self tries to resurrect, but we continually kill it and put it to death because we are new. And we are being made new. Amen. Again, Pastor Brooks taught y'all a lot, so I'm not trying to revisit the basics. Amen. Finally, please turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. The 12th chapter. Now again, we've already talked about why is growth important, and that's because if we don't grow, we won't reach the purpose God has made us for. We won't be able to glorify God in the fullest if we can't grow to what God wants us to be.
Right.
So what is this growth? We've just read Ephesians 4, and if you really want to get more specific, read the rest of Ephesians, read Galatians, read Colossians, I mean, you get the point, read the Bible. To find out what growth is, but growth is glorifying God with our entire being. How we think, how we behave, you know, everything about us, our schedules, our money, everything about us glorifies God. That's what growth looks like. But here we are at 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're looking at verse 4 through 7. When you have it, say amen. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 4th through 7th verse. Some of you are already saying, okay, well, that's great. I know what growth looks like. I know why it's important. I know what it is. Okay, that's wonderful. So do I just walk away? That's it? Just kind of grow? Well, this is what part of the vision is our purpose in practice. This is what the mission looks like in real life. So I'm getting ready to show you what it looks like in real life. Verse 4 through 7 reads as follows. Let me repeat that. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, 4 through 7, read as follows. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Amen.
So, before we even start talking about gifts, one of the things that we learn about growth is that it's not just for us. God wants us to grow and be perfect and mature like we just read. But it's not just so we can, you know, strut around the world and
Look how holy I am. Look how Christian I am. Don't you guys like this? You like this? Yeah, I know. I like it too. That is not the point. And I have to say this out loud because so many Christians nowadays don't understand that point. You know, we're always bragging about what God brought us from. He brought us from all that. He brought me from, you know, drugs and alcohol and whatever it is. He brought us from that. And we're so happy because he brought us from that. Not realizing that God brought you from that to grow up in Christ. And then to help others get brought out from that. God led you to him so that he can grow you up, so that he can grow others. We often forget that part, that our personal growth is for other people. And I'm not going to get into that too much because that's a whole different sermon. But why am I mentioning this? It's because when we start talking about gifts, by the way, if you're a Christian, you have a gift. At least one. If you are a Christian, if God has redeemed you, the Holy Spirit is living in you, you have at least one gift. Now, that gift is going to help you. It's going to help you. You know, discernment, the gift of discernment, is going to help you in some situations. However, it's not only for you. This is the reason I'm saying this is because here is the vision, and I'm going to close very soon. What I want to do, I want the church, every Christian in this church, I want us to do a gifts survey. We will provide it to you. But we want to know what all of your gifts are. I think you should know what your gifts are. Now, maybe some of us have done this, some of us have not, but we all need to know what our gifts are. So over the course of this year, we're going to give out a survey. Okay, we're talking about what we're going to actually do, right, St. John? Here's what we're actually going to do. We're going to get a survey out to everyone to find out your gifts. And then what we're going to do is catalog those gifts. Why? Because let's say Angel has the gift of mercies. Wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody else here that had the gift of mercies? That knew what that gift was about and knew how to use it? Wouldn't that be beneficial for Angel? Wouldn't that help her grow if she knew what God had given her and what that's for? Right. If India had the gift of, let me say, if Ayana has, she can, that she knows what it is and how to use it and what scriptures to study and what to pray for and things like that. Wouldn't that be useful? Yes. Talking about the body helping each other, right? Because I don't have all the gifts. Surprise, surprise, I don't have all the gifts. And if I didn't have the gift of discernment, I would really like somebody here that has the gift of discernment. Because there are some things that they can tell that I can't. Amen. We thank God that some of us have the gift of leadership. Right? Because if we had a church and nobody knew how to lead,
You see the problem? So that's what I want to do. In addition to those gifts, over the course of the year, okay? We're talking over the course of the year. I want a catalog. I want to get the various experiences of people. What are their experiences? You know, I didn't realize we had so many social workers here. I don't know if you knew, but we have social workers here. Wouldn't it be awesome as the body of Christ if we could leverage that experience? If we knew what everybody did and people can help each other grow, wouldn't that be interesting? Talents as well. Some of us have talents that can be useful in helping build the body of Christ. And right now we're kind of keeping it to ourselves. We use our talents everywhere else in the world, but we won't use them at the church. Help everybody else grow. Help everybody else make money. We in the church and can't give our talents. And then there's these things called temperaments, just like a personality, understanding personalities. You know, certain personalities don't clash with or clash with certain jobs, and some other personalities are better fit for other things. All of those things over the course of this year, I want us to catalog. Church, we should know who we are. We should know who's here. We should know how each of us can benefit each other, starting with the gifts. But there's other things as well. We can't be here for years and years and years. And Rietta has known something that could save me a whole lot of trouble, but she keeps it to herself. And she's looking at me like, okay. That would be mean if I knew how to do certain things, a way that could help us grow in Christ. And you desperately need it because you're going through things. And we don't know. Everybody else in the world knows. But the church. That is what I want to change this year. We've got kids coming up. These kids have no idea what the adults do. We've got young adults that are going through boyfriend, girlfriend issues and won't tell nobody. And we've got adults that have been there and done that. And they might be walking, we might be walking in and out and greeting each other every day. And they struggling every day. And the adults never know. Let's fix that this year. Let this be the body of Christ that ministers to the individual, that helps the person to grow. Amen? I need you to help me grow. And I hope that I can help some of you grow as well. Amen?